Well, saints, I greet you in the wonderful name of our Savior Jesus Christ, and truly it's an honor and a privilege to be with you. I want to make a few announcements before I get into my message. We brought a number of materials with us, and they should be coming up in the screen. We have a DVD series. It's a four-hour series on the apocalypse, the final warning. Myself, along with some other colleagues in Bible prophecy, we did a series, and it's a wonderful series. It's part one, part two. But it deals with the book of Revelation, starting with the with current events, where we are now, and it goes all the way to the second coming of Christ. They filmed this so good. It's on the level of National Geographic as far as the quality, and it's a wonderful, wonderful study. Have a number of books there. This one's entitled 101 Answers to Questions about the Book of Revelation from Dr. Mark Hitchcock. He's a colleague and friend of ours. Also, Dr. Ron Rhodes, Israel on High Alert. And then, can we still believe in the rapture? And the answer is yes, we can. It is a message that's come under great attack, but it's biblical, and it's going to affect everyone. And then another message, I have a number of DVDs there. This one's entitled, Beware of False Christ in the Last Days, which is one of the signs of the times, but we focus directly on that particular sign. And I'm going to touch it lightly in my message tonight, as well as a message on the signs of the times, dealing with how close are we. And then a 12 DVD series is a value pack. It's a general, it gives you a general foundation of Bible prophecy. We start with Bible prophecy, God's order of events. We deal with the signs of the times, the rapture of the church, the judgment seat of Christ, the great tribulation, the mark of the beast, the second coming of Christ, the battle of Armageddon, the millennium, the great white throne, the reality of hell, and also the reality of heaven. It'll give you a good foundation on Bible prophecy. And then we have a Bible prophecy manual, which is a user-friendly guide designed to help you understand Bible prophecy. We have a pull-out dispensational chart in the back. Again, a wonderful tool, a map of the end times to put prophecy in perspective. And then last, we have a website, which is www.according2prophecy.org. We've been online since 1995. We have a Facebook presence as well as a Twitter. We're part of the Truly Family Entertainment Network, as well as our official YouTube channel. And then we have a weekly program on hischannel.com. Our program airs every Thursday evening at 7:30 Pacific Coast Time. It's called Your Future in Bible Prophecy. It's a 30-minute program dealing with Bible prophecy. You can download this app to your in one of your devices, or either you have a streaming device, Apple, whatever you use, you can find this app and you can watch the program there. Now, my message this evening, the signs of the times, how close are we? I want you to bow your hearts as we ask the Lord to bless his word. Father, we love you. And again, it is always an honor, first and foremost, that we, as we stand before you, the God of heaven, the creator of all life. What a privilege. Lord, it's an honor tonight to stand before your people. Lord, I ask, as we go into your word, I ask by your Holy Spirit that you would open the scriptures to our hearts. Let our hearts burn within us as you teach us your word. Lord, stir us up. Bring back to our remembrance. Encourage us. Show us new things. But Lord, allow this word to challenge us as sons and daughters of your word. Now, Lord, we love you and we thank you now. We bind every scheme, strategy of the enemy that would try to hinder this meeting. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The signs of the times, how close are we? How many would agree with me tonight that we're living in the last days? Let me see my hands. Truly we are. No doubt the signs of the times are upon us, and we are truly living there. Now I want to bring in our prophecy chart here. This is a chart of time. Now right here, we're in what's called the church age. The next major event that will happen is that of the rapture of the church. There are no signs for the rapture. As the church is raptured on earth, they'll have the 7-year tribulation. But what we're going to see tonight, all of the signs, all of the indicators I'm going to talk about tonight, all of them point to the second coming of Christ. There are no signs for the rapture. The rapture is a signless event. So if we're seeing signs tonight that point to the second coming of Christ, then how close is the rapture? You know, I love the signs of the time message because it produced an urgency within our heart to reach a lost world. You know, saints, time is winding up. We don't have as much time as we did when you first got saved. We are truly living in the end times. Now, I'm a topical teacher, I'm going to give you a number of topics. You want to first see, why should we know the signs of the times? Why, as a Christian, should you understand this? Then I'm going to define, what is a sign, or what is the signs? Then we're going to see Jesus gives an indictment against the church about not knowing the signs. He came against the church of his day, the scribes and the Pharisees. Then we're going to actually look at the signs of the times in Scripture. What I'm going to do here, I'm going to give just a list of the indicators. Many of you probably know these as prophecy buffs, but I'm going to stir your hearts regarding that. And then we're going to actually look at some of these signs. And then we're going to close up looking at how should the signs of the times affect us in our daily lives as Christians. So let's start off with, why should we know the signs? And I want to quote a scripture. I love this passage. Found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 33, verse number 6. Isaiah wrote this. He said, "And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times." I really love that. He said, wisdom and knowledge. You know, having the wisdom and knowledge about the end times will stabilize your times. You know, I meet a number of Christians who are terrified about the end time message. They don't want to hear it because they say, "I'm afraid. It scares me, preacher. I don't know about the signs." Well, you know something? Having wisdom and knowledge of God about the times will stabilize your times. You know, I don't worry about nuclear bombs. I don't worry about Antichrist. I don't worry about Mark of the Beast. I don't worry about none of that. I sleep good every night. You know why? Because I understand the end of the story. God, Father God, has everything under control. Everything is like a script. It's coming to pass before our very eyes. So I don't worry. We need to know the signs of the time so we can better communicate a clear message to a lost world that don't know him. We need to also help Christians understand that, listen, you must understand the signs of the times. Don't put your head in the sands. You need to understand. Now, I know I'm singing to the choir. You guys have come to a prophecy conference, and I commend you for that. But we must know these times in order that it might stabilize our times. It gives us peace in the midst of it. Now, the question is asked, are we living in the end times now? And if so, when did the end times begin? I get this question all the time. You know, I believe the scriptures lets us know when the end times began and how long we have been living in it. I want to give you a few verses here. Found in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 20. And here it's talking about Jesus Christ. This is what it says, who was verily foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. You know, when Christ came on the scene, it marked the end of times. The time clock for the signs of the times began ticking. You know, we couldn't get to the end of the world until Christ came into the world and died for us. But when he came on the scene, he was manifest in the last times for us. Here's another one. Look at this. Galatians 4:4. It says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. When the fullness of time, right coming to the end of time, God brought forth his son into the world that marked the beginning of the last days. Look at this one. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. It says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers, by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his son, whom he appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Jesus Christ has spoken to this world, this generation. When our Savior came on the scene, it marked the end times. So we've been in the end times for nearly 2,000 years. Now, what is a sign? What is a sign? Let me show you what a sign is. Look at this. Look at this. Signs. We have signs all the time. Now, these are American signs. You don't see 50 miles. You guys have kilometers, right? 50 kilometers. I'm glad my GPS or my Google knows kilometers. Because if I use it, it tell me in kilometers. I'm used to the miles and stuff. But anyway, look at signs. You know, signs are good. As a matter of fact, signs are markers in time. A sign lets you know that something is coming. You know, there's a railroad coming. A sign says yield because the road is, you know, has a deep curve in it. A sign is an indicator. It's a mark in times. It's an indication of a coming event. A sign points to literal events to come. This is a sign. Signs are evidence of something that is true. Now, we're going to see again, our Savior has given signs in the scripture that we can look at to know that his coming is at hand. He didn't have to do it, but he did. And again, we must be students of his word to look at the indicators. We must become students that can discern the times in which we live. I talk to a lot of Christians. They say, Brother Perkins, I don't like watching the news because the news is bad news. I say, well, sure, there's bad news, but it depends on how you're looking at it. If you look at it with a prophetic eye, you have a different perspective on the news. As I watch the news and I see bombs in Israel, I see this and that. I say, you know something, Lord, you said that is exactly what's going to happen in the last days. Lord, truly, we have entered the end time season. So, saints, we're truly living in the last days. Now, I want to quote the late Dr. Chuck Missler from his book, Prophecy 2020. Listen to what he said. The Bible lays out a detailed scenario of the final climax for mankind on planet Earth. It also provides, and I love this, testable reference points to determine just where we are in that scenario. See, I asked you the question, are we living in the last days? Hands went up all over the place. The reason why I know those hands went up, because you know the testable reference points that God has given us as markers in time. See, because now we have different things that are coming in. The word of God is being proven to be true. We are truly living in the end times. Now, Jesus gives an indictment against the church about knowing the signs of the times. And he gave this indictment to the church of his day, dealing with the scribes and the Pharisees. But I believe that this indictment to them is also true for the church today at large. There's an indictment against us because we don't know. And very familiar passage here found in Matthew chapter 16, verses 1-3. Listen to this. The scripture says, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. And he answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. So Jesus talking to the Pharisees. He said, you guys, you look in the clouds and you determine the forecast for tomorrow. You prepare your day based on the signs you read in the clouds. Then Jesus began to rebuke them. He said, oh, ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. And sadly today, many Christians fall in that category. They listen to the weather. I mean, tomorrow's going to be snow. They prepare themselves. They get the boots and the galoshes. Now, we don't have to do that in San Diego, but you get the boots and the galoshes here, and you prepare the parkers, you know. 50 degrees, man. We got on parkers, 50 degrees. It's cold for us. You know, you guys probably out in your little skiffies, you know, at 50 degrees. But we are cold. Now, what we do, though, we based on the weatherman's forecast, we prepare our day. Jesus rebuked them because they couldn't discern the signs of the times. They didn't know the indicators that were before them. A lot of people would be caught off guard because they don't know the signs. And they're so simple, God has placed them there. Now, I will say this. There are a lot of old wives fables out there. You know, I was taught some crazy stuff growing up in Louisiana. Crazy stuff. I was taught that when the sun is out and it's raining, I was taught that Satan was beating his wife. I said, first of all, Satan, when they said Satan was in hell beating his wife, I said, Satan's not in hell. Hell is the judgment of God for the devil. Satan never married. I mean, crazy stuff, you know. And they said, this is a sign of the time. You know, when you think it's winter, but you have some summer-like weather, that's a sign of the time. But you won't find it in scriptures nowhere. Jesus gave clear indicators about the end times. Not old wives fable. He gave us things that you can point to, things that you can see to know that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we're living in the last days. One more thing before I go forward. I get this question all the time. Brother Perkins, how do you know that Bible is the right book? What about the Book of Mormon? What about the Quran? What about this book or that book? How do you know that Bible is the correct one? Well, one way I know is based on Bible prophecy. This is one book that has prophecies that are centuries old that are coming to pass like a current day newspaper before our very eyes. I was teaching a large conference, and I did the signs of the times. A young man came to me after service. He had tattoos and everything all over him. He was covered. And he came to my table, and he startled me at first. And he said, "Sir, I want to tell you," he said, "today you made that Bible relevant to me." Because he was able to see signs of the times, current events that was written centuries old that he'd been watching on the news and didn't even know was in the Bible. We're living in some amazing times. Now, the signs of the times in Scripture. And again, what I'm going to do is just give some simple indicators here. We know the signs. I mean, many of you are prophecy students, but I like stirring the hearts of his people, God's people. So here, first of all, we're going to look at signs in the Gospels. And what I'm going to do is just going to bring them in. I'm going to bring in some of the signs. Jesus said in the latter days that there would be false Christs. We find this in Matthew chapter 24, verses 5 and 11. We find it in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, verses 6 and 21 through 23. We also find it in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, verse 8. But he said that there would be false Christ in the last days. And we know of, some of the false Christ in our past. Jim Jones, we know about him. David Koresh, Sung Young Moon. You know, Sung Young Moon, before he died, he said that Jesus failed to do what God called him to do, and therefore God raised him and his wife up to complete God's plan and program. Sung Young Moon. This other guy, Jesus Miranda, this guy came out of Puerto Rico, and he was going toward Catholics, but he said that he was Jesus Christ man. But what was amazing about this guy, all of his followers, they had 666 tattooed in their forehead. They had 666 tattooed on their garments, and people by the thousands followed this guy. Then we have another sign of the time here. You see the image there. I'm going to bring another picture in here. I call this deception in redefining Christ. I call this false Christ in the media. This is the most diabolical of all false Christ because, the devil said, "Well, I can't come to you and tell you I'm Jesus. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to come to you in a different way." The periodicals, I've been tracking these for over 30 years, and I'm just going to bring some of these periodicals into the screen. What I noticed every Christmas and every Easter, these periodicals would produce a full cover story on Jesus Christ. But when you start reading the article, it was a false vision of him. Look at this first one, Newsweek, rethinking the resurrection, new debate about the risen Christ. There's no new debate about him. Christ was risen. History bears it out and proves it. Look at this next one here, in search of Jesus. This one here, all these guys, they searching for Jesus. I can tell them where to go. You can find him in the Bible. I mean, he's there. You need to search for him. He's there. Okay. But all of these articles, look at this next one. In search for Jesus. Some scholars are debunking the gospels. In search, so-called scholars. They talk about this group out of California called the Jesus Seminar. Have you ever heard of that group, Jesus Seminar? These guys get the Bible and they get around a table and they vote on whether the event happened or whether it could have happened or it didn't happen at all. And they vote with colored marbles. So they cast a vote with marbles. And I said, well, they've lost their marbles. That's what they have. False teachers. But see, this is false Christ in the media. Look at this next one. Look at this one. This one, U.S. News and World Report, it says, why Jesus was killed. Scholars find new clues about the crucifixion. They said Jesus died because he was a political subversive. They said Jesus, he took up the peasant's cause, and it's no wonder he got himself killed. See, we know Jesus didn't take up the peasant's call. He came to die for the world. It was prophesied before the foundation of the world that he would die for us. And this is exactly what he did. But see, if you don't know Jesus from the scripture, you're going to follow these falsehoods and get a false view. One of the books said that Mary was not impregnated by the Holy Spirit. It said she was impregnated by a Roman soldier. Blasphemy. But a lot of people are believing the lies. All right. The scripture also said Jesus talked about in the latter days that there would be deception. He said many shall be deceived. Matthew 24, verses 5 and 11. Mark 13, verse number 6. Let me go back there. He's talking about deception. Deception has crept into the world, but not only the world, into the church. Deception by design. The devil is attacking the truth that we once learned. You know, people say today, Brother Perkins, I don't believe the way I used to believe. That's how we used to believe. How many know today truth does not change? The Bible does not change. I've been teaching over 30, almost 38 years. In July, be 38 years. I haven't had to change my message. You know why? Because the word don't change. Truth never changes if you stand on the authority of the word. But many people today are being deceived because they don't know the word. Many Christians are being deceived because they don't know the scriptures. Deception has crept into the times. Jesus also talked about wars and rumors of wars. Matthew 24:6 and Mark 13:7 and Luke 21:9. He said wars and rumors of war. You know, saints, there are over 40 wars that are going on right now. Not just the ones we hear about. There are 40 wars going on worldwide. Not only that, there are wars among the states and the cities. Wars and rumors of wars. You look at some of these, Iran, ISIS, Kim, I call him Lil Kim, the baby with nukes, Israel against Iran, and the threats there. These are wars and rumors of war. And I'm going to show you something very interesting. See, Jesus warned the church of his day, and he warned us to be discerners of the times. How many have ever heard of the group called the Atomic Scientists? You ever heard of that group? The Bulletin of Atomic Scientists? I want to show you something. This is a group of Nobel laureates. These men, they discern the times the way we should be discerning the times. So they created this clock. It's called the Doomsday Clock of the Bulletin of Atomic Science. I want you ought to write that down and go online and check these guys out. These are some smart fellows, Nobel laureates. And what they do, they move the clock hand back or forward to midnight, meaning to the end of the world. So let me show you how these guys have been discerning the times over the years. In 1995, they say we were 14 minutes from the end of the world. In 98, they say we were 9 minutes to doomsday. 2002, they say we were 7 minutes from the end of the world. 2010, they say we were 6 minutes away from the end of catastrophe. 2012, they say we were 5 minutes away. 2015, they say we were 3 minutes away. 2017, they say we were 2.5 minutes away. 2.5, you know, 2.5 right there. And I'll say this about them, too. They don't just move the hand real easy, too. Just because a bomb explodes in Israel, that does not move the hand. They look at a lot of events worldwide to determine whether or not we are closer or not. And then last year, 2018, and to the current now, they say that we are 2 minutes away from catastrophe. These people are discerning the times. They are doing what we should be doing in the church. They are telling the world, this world is coming to an end. And there's one article they put out where they said that if the governments cannot bring peace, then a citizen should rise up who can basically stabilize the world. I mean, that's a sign to me talking about the Antichrist, talking about the man of sin. Well, this group here is we're 2 minutes away. And this is a secular group. It's amazing. They are discerning the times. Jesus said another sign in the latter days will be famines. Matthew 24:7, Mark 13:8, and Luke 21:11. You know, they are using terms today called mega famines. Now think about this, saints. How in the world, in the 21st century, do we have famines at all? We have, somebody said Walmart, we have equipment. We can place food anywhere in the world. We have technology. We can grow food almost anywhere in the world. Why do we have famines? Well, we have famines because Jesus said famines will be a sign and the indicator in the last days. This is truly a sign of the times that is before us. We watch it on TV and we take for granted. But again, these are indicators that we're living in the last days. Look at this next one. Pestilence. Remember SARS? Everybody on the plane with these masks on to protect themselves from getting SARS. My wife and I, we fly all over the country, all over the world, and people had these masks. I just prayed, Lord, cover me in the name of Jesus. I wasn't worried about it. What about the bird flu and swine flu and the Zika virus? Pestilence, Matthew 24:7, Luke 21:11. Now in America, there's an outbreak now of measles. A lot of the diseases that man thought he cured are now coming back with a vengeance. And they are, a lot of the penicillins can't stop a lot of those diseases. Jesus said, pestilence will be a sign in the last days. Now, I'm going to say this to you. These indicators, a lot of them, believe it or not, are very negative. But you know something? You look at these negative signs as a positive because they are pointing to a sick world that needs a savior. The only remedy for this world is Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. See, these indicators are pointing to a world right before Jesus comes back. The world's going to get worse and worse, darker and darker. These are signs. People say, what in the world is going on? Well, we're coming to an end. We're coming to the end of the story. We're coming to the remedy, which is Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Look at this. Earthquakes, great earthquakes. Matthew 24:7, Mark 13:8, Luke 21:11. Earthquakes of large magnitude. Again, because of technology, we can actually track earthquakes now, and we know where they're happening all over the world. Not only that, but they're having earthquakes where they've never had them before. You know, Paul wrote, he said that in the latter days that the earth is going to groan and travail, waiting to see the manifestation of the sons of God. I believe planet Earth is quaking because it realized we're living in the last days. You know, planet Earth will experience a born-again experience just like we do. Not only did Jesus die for humanity, he also died for creation. Think about this. When Christ went to Calvary's cross, they put the crown of thorns in his head. The crown of thorns was the curse that entered the earth. So not only did he die to redeem mankind, he also died to redeem creation. And the earth is groaning and travailing because of sin. Earthquakes of large magnitudes are happening. Whenever I watch news and I hear about earthquake, I always want to find out where is it coming from? What's the magnitude of it? Truly a sign of the last days. Look at this next one. This one is amazing here. Jesus said, fearful sights. I thought this is an amazing sign. Fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. You find this in Luke 21:11. He said, fearful sights in the heavens, in the sky, in the universe. Well, I just want to show you one here. This is from the Helix Nebula. I mean, this is called the Helix Nebula. It was taken from the Hubble. And if you look at it, it looks like an eye. Look at this thing. This is out there in space, gases and stars that create this formation. And you know, some scientists, they are baffled by it. And they are upset because now people have coined a name. They call this the Eye of God. It's in the heavens. And they are upset. And I said, like this, I said, man is looking into the heavens at God, and God looked down into the telescope. God said, you look at me, I'm going to look at you. The Bible says, fearful sights in the heavens. You go to Hubble, I mean, it's amazing, the different formation. There's one formation like a hand, like God's hand. I said, God is just, he's playing with man. He said, watch what I do now. Fearful sights in the heavens. This is an indicator that Jesus gave. Look at this one. This is an amazing sign Jesus gave in Matthew 24:12. He says, the love of many would wax cold in the last days. Saints, we have truly entered there. We have elder abuse. We have shaming. We have parents being beaten by their children. We have bullying in school. We have, look at this. We have a different, the murder of kids, Columbine. Just going to bring a few of these in here. Sandy Hook Elementary. Look at this, Virginia Tech College, 32 were killed. Look at this last one here, Marjorie Stone, Stoneman, Douglas High School, 17 were killed. The love of many is waxing cold, meaning that mankind does not love his fellow brother like he used to. It's a coldness in the hearts of men. They have a heart that is careless. You know, sin is maturing. It's maturing. And because sin is maturing, the hearts of men have become cold. This is a sign of the last days. Now, I'm going to take you into, further into the epistles here. The Apostle Paul, he gives us signs in society. Now, we know this. We find this in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to start in verse 1 through 7, but I'm going to start in these first few verses here. Paul said this. He said, know this also, that in the last days, perilous times are troublesome times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. Here's another sign, disobedient to parents. Man, we have a generation of kids that are so disobedient. Look at this. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sin, led away with divers lusts. Here's another sign. Ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. The Bible, he says here, Paul said in the latter days, ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. We ever learning. They ever learning, but they never come into the knowledge of the truth. We have so much knowledge on our cell phones. I mean, there's so much knowledge that we have. We're in a knowledge-driven society and culture, but they're not coming to Christ. So Paul gave us some signs in society. So I want to bring in some of these signs. He said, without natural affection. Look at this. Newsweek had Gay Today, how the battle for acceptance has moved into the schools, churches, marriages, and the workplace. Without natural affection, not just homosexual affection. People now have affection for things. There's a program that aired in the States called Strange Affections. And there's a show blew me away. This guy was in love with his car. Now, I like my car. I do like my car. I mean, I bought it, but I don't love my car. This guy was in love with his car. This guy, he claimed to have sex with his car. I kid you not. I kid you not. And this guy was on TV. He was talking about his affection with his car. Strange affections the Bible talks about. Without natural affection. And there's nothing wrong with liking what you have, but don't love it. You know, I have the iPhone 10. And I used to say, man, I love my phone. And all of a sudden, the Lord checked me in my heart. He said, you love your phone? And then I didn't catch it at first. I said, you know, boy, I love my phone. And the Lord said, you love your phone? I said, wait a minute. I said, Lord, no, I don't love my, I like my phone. But Lord, I love you. I love my family. I love my children. I had to get the priority straight because you can't love something that can't love you back. So I had to make the adjustment. I like my things, but I don't love them. I love God. Look at this next one here. He said, this is found in 2 Timothy again. He talked about kids that are disobedient. This article talked about kids without a conscience. Look at this one here. This kid here, Newsweek said, Mom, I want a divorce. This kid, disobedient kid, he sued his mother to divorce her. Now, I'm from the old school, saints. If I wanted to divorce my dad, he would say, okay, let's go talk in the shed for a few minutes. I would have come out the shed wanting to be married to my family again. I made the statement many times. My dad changed my mind all the time. He didn't damage me. He made me a better man. But today we have a culture now that don't raise their kids based on scripture. We don't apply biblical principles. Listen, God wrote the book for the family. If you operate by biblical principles, you're going to raise a wonderful child. People talk about terrible twos. No. When he starts terrible twos, you implement scripture on him. And then when you do that, the Bible says you would drive evil far from him. We need to get back to the book, but we have disobedient to parents. What about this one? Boy, this is amazing here. In Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I think it's 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Paul wrote this. He says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Again, the devil is more crafty. He's not coming to you and knock on your door. I'm the devil. Let me in. Because you rebuke him. Get thee hence, devil. So what Satan has done, he's repackaged the way he comes in to deceive. A lot of Christians are involved in yoga. I'm going to tell you, this is a whole other thing. And I'll speak, he's going to deal with it. This one is just amazing, the number of Christians are in it. Look at, you got Oprah Winfrey here. Oprah Winfrey, you know, she has her own little spiritual network. A lot of people have bought into the lie of Oprah Winfrey. Oprah is being used by the devil. Look at this picture. This is a fat Christian. He's his poor angel working overtime trying to keep him from eating all the junk food. He has flaky teaching. He has pick and choose doctrines. He has New Age cola. He has toxic religion. He has strange doctrines. A lot of Christians are into a lot of things and they don't realize how to get there. Doctrines. Doctrines are teachings of devils. I warn parents. Parents, listen. Don't let your babies read Harry Potter. Don't let your babies read the Da Vinci Code, books like that. People say, you know, it's just good fiction, Brother Perkins. No. These are doctrines of devils that teaching little Johnny how to cast spells. Yeah, doctrines of devils. I did a conference in St. Louis. I talked about, you know, Harry Potter and different things. And at the close of the meeting, the pastor came up to the pulpit. He said, I must apologize to my church. He said, from this pulpit, I gave my son the whole Harry Potter series. This was a pastor. There was another incident where a church over the summer, they wanted to do a youth evangelistic meeting. And what they did, they played the Harry Potter movie at the church to draw in the world. How do you do that? Doctrines of devils. Look at this. The yoga of Jesus. They got a picture of Jesus, the yoga of Jesus. Look at this. Christ-centered yoga at Mountain Park. Look at this. These Christians in a yoga position in front of the cross. That's like oil and water, man. It don't mix. They have Christian yoga. There's no Christian yoga. You can't do that. Yeah, this doctrine of devil. Now look at this one. I got to show you this one. Because I deal with this as a black American. I travel all over the country. A lot of blacks are coming to me. Brother Perkins, what do you think about this new black Israeli movement? If you haven't heard about it, it is big in the States, and I guarantee you it's coming here as well. These particular men call themselves the Black Hebrew Israelites. This is a false black Israelite movement. These people believe that every black in America is of the lost tribe of Judah. That's what they believe. They believe that they were of the royal family, the royal priesthood of Judah. Well, they got a lot of problems because Judah was never a priestly family. We know that based on scripture, that the Levitical family was the priestly family. Well, a lot of these guys have gotten caught up into this. Not only that, but they deal with genealogies. Paul warned in Titus, he says, but avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. Many of these black pastors are doing these genealogy traces to try to find their ancestry to tie them back to the royal priesthood of Judah. False teaching. Not only that, but they have a black Jesus. Now, I get this all the time. You got to hear me. Black Jesus, they started a whole teaching and doctrine on it. And look at the verse they use in Revelation chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. 14 and 15. This is from chapter 1, dealing with the glorified vision of Christ. They read the verse here. It says, talking about Jesus, said, his head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet was like fine brass as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice was as the sound of many waters. They've taken this verse out of scripture to say that Jesus was black. And this is what they do. They said his head and his hairs were white like wool. And they stopped there. They said black people got woolly hair. So Jesus was black. I say, you are misinterpreting scripture. The Bible says white like wool, as white as snow. The emphasis was on the white, on the purity of Christ in the glorified vision. This had nothing to do with woolly hair. They said his feet was like they burned in fine brass, you know, burned in a furnace. They started a whole movement. And what's sad, many pastors, many Christians, I have pastors calling me about this. And I said, Pastor, stop watching the videos. I said, leave it alone. Because it's false teaching in the latter days. This is a false representation of Jesus. You know, says, I don't care what color Jesus was. He could have been polka dot. It don't matter. He saved me. He died on the cross to save me. I'm almost done with this part here. The nation of Israel. Now, I'm not going to touch much on it because I will touch my session tomorrow. I'm going to deal with Israel and Bible prophets, the greatest sign. But just to give you a few verses, Amos 9, verses 13 through 15. Ezekiel 36, verse 8 through 11. Zechariah 12. Verses 2 and 3, Jeremiah 23, verse 7 and 8. I'm going to talk more about them tomorrow, but I'll touch one right now. Jerusalem, a cup of trembling. You know, the Middle East right now is unstable. And you know something? It's unstable by God's design. God designed that it would be. You know why? Because he put it in prophecy. He said Jerusalem would become a cup of trembling in the latter days and a burdensome stone to the world. And those that try to grab the burden or try to bring peace or stabilize the region, God says, I will grind them. I will tear them in pieces. You know, I may say many times, America needs to get out of the peace business when it comes to dealing with Israel. The only thing God requires that we do is pray for the peace of Jerusalem. When you pray that prayer, you're bringing back Christ in the millennium. Now, I'm going to close with this last part. How should the signs of the times affect us in our daily lives? They're going to affect you one or two ways. But as a Christian, you should allow the signs to affect you in a certain way. See, a lot of people come to conferences like this. They love to get the latest scoop on end times. What's happening in Israel? What part of the temple's works have they created now? People love the sign. They love those indicators. How are you allowing those signs to affect you? Look at this. We must be diligent students of God's word to recognize the warnings that are evident in these last days. God was faithful to place in the scriptures what he wanted us to know. So that day of his return would not catch us unaware like it will the world. Noah had a prophetic word from God, and he warned his generation. We must know the times in which we live in order to be effective in it. We must discern the events and seasons so that we can warn a dying world of what is coming in the near future. As a believer, we must warn the world. In light of that, Jesus said in Luke 21:28, he said, when these things begin to come to pass, talking to us Christians, he said, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing nigh. He says, I'm getting so excited that Jesus is coming back. I take rapture drills. Listen, I believe he's coming back. He said, if you're a Christian, when you see these signs, as they begin to take place, he said, look up, because he's at hand to come. He said in Romans, I love this, Paul wrote in Romans 13. He says, and that knowing the times, we know the times, and that knowing the times that now it is high time for Christians to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore, talking to Christians, cast off the works of darkness. Christians, stop sinning. Let us put on the armor of light. He said, let us walk earnestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You know, the reason why a lot of Christians fall into sin, because they're making provision for it. They're putting themselves, they're setting themselves up for fall, for failure, for shipwreck, because they keep going down the same path that's taking them down. Paul said, make no provision. Whatever you're doing that's causing you to go down, get off that path. I'm almost done. I'm almost done. John 4:1. John wrote this. He says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. The way you try the spirits is you must be a student of the word. You know truth. You know, banks never give the bank tellers counterfeit money. They only let them handle real money. Because real money, they handle it by the millions in their hands. They know real money. They handle it so much they can feel the texture. That when they get a counterfeit, they say, wait a minute, that don't feel right. They've been handling truth so long that whenever a error presents itself, they can detect it. See, we need to be truth detectors in the latter days. We need to try the spirits by the word of God. All right, I'm going to give you one last verse. I love this. Psalm 119:165. The Bible says here, it says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Listen, saints, God has put everything we need in the scriptures. If you love his word, nothing will offend you. Nothing will bother you because you are trusting a sovereign God who wrote it down. The scripture says God will do nothing in the earth except he first give it to his prophets. He gave the prophets the end of the story. What we got to do is love the word and spend time in the word. As we study his word and we see the signs and the indicators, we know of a surety that we're living in the last days. So since we know the signs, we should allow these indicators to push us outside the comfort zone to reach a lost world. Time is winding up, saints. You have loved ones that are not saved, and you haven't reached out to them. You know all the signs. You come into prophecy conference. You're investing in a prophecy conference to get knowledge. But what are you doing with that knowledge? We must allow that word to show us how close we are, but let it set us on fire to reach a lost world. I have a plane ministry. Plane. What I mean by that, as I travel, I say, Lord, who will you have to sit on side of me? Boy, it's a wonderful ministry, man, especially when you got turbulence going on. Man, they grabbing the seats, man. But I find myself ministering to people, all different types of people, smart ones and not so smart ones. But I mean, I'm ministering the gospel to them in the air. They say, what do you do for a living? I say, I'm so glad you asked. But I preach the gospel to them because I realize the urgency of the hour. So I want to say to you as I close in a prayer, don't let this conference just be something that's going to give you the latest information and it don't affect you. Let it affect you to go outside the door, to reach your family, to reach your coworkers, to reach those whom God bring in front of you. God, show them who you want me to reach, Lord. Time is winding up. And if you do that, he will bring them in front of you. Let's bow our hearts. Father, we love you. And Lord, we thank you for the word of truth. Lord, help us as your sons and daughters. Help us, oh God, to warn a lost world that don't know you. Lord, let these signs, these indicators, Lord, let them stir our hearts. Let them set us on fire in the latter days. And Lord, use us. Lord, give us your eyes. Father, give us your heart when it comes to those in the world. Let us feel your heart and let us see them the way you see them, Lord. And we thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Isn't God good, saints? Amen.